Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby. Yari Curry, McSorley.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Hockey Podcast. This is Tuesday, yeah, and this is Reed, and Viz is joining us again. The first round of the playoffs are done. We had a record 18 overtime games for the first round of the NHL playoffs. And as I said before, that is, in fact, a record. The previous record was 17, so going to be tough to beat that. I think it was like 42 or 41.7% of all the playoff games so far have gone to overtime.
That was what I was about to say. I mean, none of the series even went seven, and they still got there, which is pretty crazy.
Right. It's one of those things where I don't think there was a series where the team who won. I think the most lopsided series, not just in terms of they swept them. Because I think the Chicago-Nashville series and then the Anaheim-Calgary series were both very close. Mm-hmm. It's just that one team just caught four games in a row. I think Pittsburgh-Columbus is probably the most lopsided series. And even those games weren't that, like, out of touch.
No, it was
Much of blowouts.
Game one after the second period, the second period got ugly. And then, game five, the middle three, they were right there for sure. It was all these series were, closer than it looked, and it's really surprising that none of them went seven, all things considered.
Yeah, I think in my first-round predictions, I got six out of the eight teams right to move on. Games-wise, I don't think I hit – I think I hit, like, two.
Yeah.
I said Rangers in six. What other one did I have?
Rangers in six is the only one that I hit, and I went 6-2 as well. Looking at the Razzball bracket group there, me and Quick Sycamore and Fungazi, we all had 6 out of 8, so that was the best anyone did. And a good thing for me is we'll talk about all four of the teams I had in the final four are still left, and I haven't seen much reason to change any of them. I have some more doubt on a couple of them than I did before, but overall, I'm probably just going to end up sticking with those. Spoiler alert. I'm really excited. I'm bothered that the schedule, of course, they got both West teams on Wednesday and both East teams on Thursday. Now, does it matter for Wednesday? No, because, St. Louis is in the Central. You play at 8, the other game's at 10:30 time. But, 7 and 7:30, now people are going to have to set up multiple screens to watch both on Thursday. If you care about the NFL draft, now it's another thing. You got three things going on. 7, 7:30, and 8. They're all overlapping. I mean, I guess it's nice that there'll be an intermission at different times, but it's still a pain in the ass.
Again, we've gone over that how many times now with the scheduling and the times of everything. The Rangers and six was the only game count and team correct that I got.
Okay.
Yeah. The two I whiffed on were two of probably the closest series, I think. I hit all four of the East. I think the East was pretty easy to get, although a lot of people like Boston.
Yeah, I got Boston wrong.
Yeah, I got the Edmonton-San Jose series and then Minnesota-St. Louis, I don't know what else Minnesota could have done other than have Dubnyk become the second coming of Christ, because Jake Allen was pretty much Moses in that game. In that series, you couldn't beat him.
Yeah, I ended up getting that one wrong, too, and then the Bruins one, which I think was fairly close to a lot of overtime games. I do think Ottawa had slightly the better of it. I have no problem with them winning it, obviously.
Right. Okay, so I think first let's give a shout out to like a, I don't want to say a warrior, but we always talk about how the injuries that come out, the news of the injuries and the surgeries that come out after the playoffs start end, is some of the most disturbing stuff. I think the biggest or the most notable one in recent memory was after the Bruins lost to, who was it, Anaheim in the Cup Final? Or no, it was the Kings.
Blackhawks.
The Blackhawks, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, the Blackhawks. It came out that Patrice Bergeron was playing with a punctured lung for extended time in the playoffs, and I remember just thinking, how the fuck is that even possible? This guy is just gonna, like, you could get seriously injured. Not just, like, yeah, a punctured lung is already a serious injury, but that could have, like, permanent damage if something goes wrong. And, like, it's almost crazy to think that they go through that. And then we see Jumbo Joe Thornton this year. He was out with a leg or knee injury. They weren't really specific on it. And he had to sit out the first two games. He comes back, plays games 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then after they're eliminated, we get the news that he was playing with a torn ACL and MCL.
That's what I mean.
You just wonder how the fuck was he even able to move. It's not like he was the most agile player to begin with. And, like, playing on that,
so, I mean, the first game it happens, you can understand it. We've seen it a lot where, you know, Rondo played on a torn knee for about 25 minutes in a game. McNabb played the whole first half on a torn knee. He had, like, 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, and then it comes out of halftime, he's got a torn ACL. I can get it the first game. How you can keep playing on it, like, I can't even fathom, you know, playing anything, like being able to push off with no, like, I'm kind of curious, like, how it even felt to him to be able to do any of this stuff. It just blows my mind as it happens. And I mean, he's a free agent. Part of me is wonders, like, if he had some sort of, like, backhand deal with San Jose where he's going to get some incentive late in contract for 1 year. I don't know. But I mean, at this point, we're, I don't know, 5.5 months to next season starting. I'd have to bet against him being ready for the season to start next year.
Yeah, I'm struggling to see it. He was right up there. I think there are about 4 players in my mind of who you really want to see win a cup who hasn't won one. And I don't care how you rank them. I think it's Ovechkin, Lundqvist, Iginla, and Thornton. I don't really think it's that close in terms of a top 4 right now. And you just you feel bad for him. Like, he's been so good. He's definitely first ballot Hall of Fame in my mind. I just can't believe that he played through that.
I'm still expecting sort of him to come out with some sort of injury after, you know, he clearly didn't look right, but he didn't look like that horrible either, which is the crazy part to me. I was expecting, you know, something with his ankle or, you know, whatever, torn ACL and MCL. It's just, I guess it really can't get much worse by playing on it. I don't know. So, I mean, credit to him for giving it a shot. And, you know, they almost got lucky in game 5, holding on for dear life. They were about 3 minutes away. If they hold on, you know, they probably advance, and we still wouldn't have any idea for a couple of weeks. It's crazy. They needed him, though. I mean, those first 2 games, power play looked really bad. I mean, just in general, they're, the first line has been so good, dominating the puck for, I don't know, 5+ years now, that him not being there, especially given Couture's state too, was kind of a disaster. And again, you feel for the guy. You wish he could have stayed healthy for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before we hit ready. You almost feel like that might have been it for the San Jose window for a cup, because without Joe Thornton, I mean, you still have Pavelski, Couture, Hertl, Timo Meier. I don't know if that right there in the competition that is the Western Conference, especially with the Oilers and McDavid getting on a start, becoming more on the rise than they already are. Calgary is still young, and they're going to be good next year. Anaheim still has a ton of young defensemen. I think they still have a little bit of a window. There's a lot of these teams in the West that are young, and they're coming up. And I'm not sure if San Jose has it. And Martin Jones, for the last month and a half, has looked wildly mediocre. Not what they needed.
He did almost steal a couple games, especially game five. I mean, that was the biggest domination. It was amazing that overtime lasted that long. I mean, I agree. I'd slide him down. I mean, I guess on the other side of things, I mean, most people thought their window was closed 2 years ago, and then they ended up making the cup final after so many years of just disappointment. And they were always looked at behind the Kings and the Kings and the Ducks. You know, it's not impossible. They're going to even have to fight to make the playoffs, though, if Thornton's going to miss the first couple months of the season. I mean, it's hard to say. That could be 8-9 months. You know, we're looking at 2018 then, missing the first 3 months of the season. You're looking at almost half the season. They have no margin of error just to get in the playoffs, basically. I mean, again, a lot could change in the offseason. Their defensive core is going to stay intact. I'm pretty sure every one of those guys is locked in. It's, can Timo Meier take the next step in his second season? Can Hurdle play like he did the last 6 weeks or so, where he looked great? Just a lot more questions about them than we're used to, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's get into big things that we took away from the first round series. Or no, we have one other injury. Erik Karlsson has two hairline fractures in his left heel, yet still somehow is the best defenseman in the playoffs. When I watch this Ottawa team, there are a lot of great stories with them, with Craig Anderson and his wife's battle with cancer and how he had to take time away from the team. Then you have Clark MacArthur coming back after what seemed like an eternity of him just dealing with concussion issues, talks of him retiring. And Erik Karlsson is, I cannot get over how good he is. It's one of those things where outside of McDavid and Crosby, how many players would you not trade for Karlsson?
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I phrased that right, but I think you understand what I'm getting at. Like
Tarasenko and Sagan, those kind of guys. I mean, honestly, considering the age difference between Crosby and Karlsson, I mean, it isn't blasphemy to take Karlsson over him either. I mean, obviously, McDavid is a no-go. I would understand why they wouldn't want to bother, or the other teams wouldn't want to bother with, like, Eichel and Matthews, but I mean, that's the type of guy we're talking about. I mean, Karlsson, I've been a long supporter of saying he's the best player in the NHL. And while he might not be there right now, I think it's really a tier three. What everyone's talking about is a tier two. I think he is right there with McDavid and Crosby, personally.
Yeah, I think I've always loved Erik Karlsson. I can't believe that there are NHL writers and who get paid a little bit more than we do, who are all of a sudden they're just finding out that Erik Karlsson's really good at this game of hockey. And it's like, he's been good all along. Yeah. They just haven't been in the playoffs for him to demonstrate that. And I think Boston was an easier matchup for them because Boston had a ton of injuries on the blue line. So, all right, okay. On that note, let's look into our second-round matchups just to give a little, what do we think? I posted on Twitter my predictions.
Right. Do you want to do those series in that order then, I guess? And we'll just kind of break them down quick and then give our definitive picks.
Yeah, okay, so, all right, let's do Nashville-St. Louis. Listen, I have Nashville going to the Stanley Cup final. I had that before the season started. I had that before the postseason started. I'm sticking with it. I think Nashville, the defensive depth, I don't think they're going to be rusty, and I don't think that argument applies because St. Louis finished in five, and they also haven't played in a little while, too. I like Nashville a lot in this series. It's going to come down to, if you shut down the Tarasenko line, can anyone else do anything? And I don't think if you use Ellis and Josi against the Tarasenko line, I think it's a pretty good neutralizing factor. And then it comes down to, can anyone score against Subban, Ekholm, or even the Irwin-Weber pairing? And I'm not sure they can. Or it would be one or two goals at most. I think Nashville has enough depth scoring and skill and deceptive speed, which I think is a theme here for the Western Conference, at least in my predictions. I like Nashville a lot in this series.
Five, okay.
So I have them winning in
five. I like them plenty, too. I do think the Blues will be more like the team we saw in Game 5 against the Wild, where it was more of an even game than the first four. Getting Stastny back really helps them out, just improving their depth down the line, basically. I can't expect Jake Allen to play that well again, though, either. So I expect Tarasenko to be good enough, you know, to win them a game, basically. The way Allen's playing, in a way Renee's playing too, but I do expect Allen to continue playing, maybe not that well, but well enough to keep his team in the games all the time. I'm going to say Preds in six. I think people are getting a little too overconfident in Nashville, and this is someone who picked them to win the Cup to some extent just because they blew Chicago out, and I think that had more to do with, one, not realizing how close the two teams actually are, because Chicago was awesome in overtime in the shootout, and Nashville was horrible. And Nashville just being healthy, or Chicago being overrated to an extent too. And everyone has it in the mind about the Blues just getting dominated by the Wild, but finding a way to win. I do think we're going to see better from them going forward. I just think the top line for Nashville is killing it. Like you said, those four defensemen are great. I think it's closer to even series. I mean, I'm looking at the betting lines now. Nashville's minus 125 to win the series, which I think is probably about right. So a slight favorite, but not drastic. I think that's the case with all these series, to be honest. But they played extremely well. I picked them before, and I didn't see any reason why, considering how much they dominated and how low the Blues can. I mean, their baseline is very low. The way they play those games, it's completely unsustainable to win. So I don't see any reason to change, and I'm going to stick with six games. I think it'll go a while. It might be one of those series where it seems inevitable that Nashville's going to win, but at the same time, it's kind of hanging in the balance. I'm looking at a series right now in the NBA, Wizards-Hawks, where it seems weird that the Wizards should be killing them, but it's randomly 2-2, and it's probably going to go seven just because it might be one of those series, but I don't know. I'm with you on Nashville for sure. Again, the way they played in Chicago, I don't see any reason to change. Maybe they get Colin Wilson back to help the depth. I thought playing Parenteau on the third line, getting him in the lineup kind of helped just to have an extra scoring threat in case they need it, especially on the second power play. This is the speed factor again. I mean, the Blues actually can match them depth-wise to an extent. Getting Stastny back, I mean, Piarvi scored the goal to win it in overtime against the Wild. You know, he's sitting there on the third line now. You know, the one bonus of playing Barbashev on the first line is it does stretch out their line. So, you know, you got Stastny, Berglund, Steen now. Latera's back. They got a decent amount of depth at this point. I mean, their top nine is fairly strong. I know I don't have any faith in their bottom line, but when you're rocking out, you know, Steen, Berglund, Perron, and then Sabatka, Latera, Piarvi in the middle, know, that is a pretty nice group. They can switch things around fairly easily if they want to and play Steen at center. They have a lot of options. I don't know. I don't have too much faith in, you know, their bottom pair on D. Even Parayko Edmondson is somewhat questionable. I mean, I love Pietrangelo. He's played outstanding since they made that Shattenkirk trade. But, I mean, now is the time where that trade is probably going to hurt them.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's move on to the next series that I'm the most confident in. We're going to stick in the West. I just like the West matchups a little bit more than the East. And I know you probably disagree. Your most confident is probably the Rangers and the Senators, but that's not my second most confident. My second most confident is Anaheim Edmonton. I got in an argument with a law school buddy who thinks that Edmonton's going to win this in five because they're just that much faster. I do not agree that Edmonton is that much faster. And I think that every year we keep underestimating. We keep forgetting that Anaheim actually has quite a bit of speed. And we just spent a couple minutes praising how Nashville's blue line and their defensive pairings are really good at shutting people down, and they have defensemen with speed. I don't know why, outside of Kevin Bieksa, everyone on the Anaheim blue line can skate like the wind. They can all move the puck. They're all very good defensemen. And I think we talked about how Mark Edward Vlasic did a great job on McDavid in the first round for San Jose. I mean, all Anaheim is going to do is just match up the Kessler line against McDavid. And he's just going to be – it's going to be like Nazem Kadri, except he's not going to get called for penalties. He's not going to come off like the worst person ever. He's just going to make – McDavid will think that Kessler is the worst person ever, but nobody else watching the games will think that. I think Getzlaf really good in that first round. And to me, that's almost what makes this really – that's what makes me confident in saying Anaheim's going to win this in six. I think there's a deceptive speed, especially among all four lines. And a guy who I think I brought up on a podcast earlier, Nate Thompson – just, you never hear of him during the regular season. He's never considered for any fantasy hockey options. And then all of a sudden, the playoffs, like a big play happens for Anaheim.
He's
like,
that, he's that random bottom six guy this year.
Every time.
He's having a big playoff.
Yeah, he's like what Joel Ward was about 5 years ago.
Even Ward did. Pretty much. Didn't Ward
like,
do that in the playoffs?
Does nothing
last
in the regular
the
season.
Too,
bottom
like he's
six
done that a bunch of times. Did it for the Capitals. Guy
yes.
always is just unreal.
Yes, it's. Yeah, just always putting stuff together. It's like, how is
I mean, it's
this
telling even, it's like, telling that they flopped him and Vermette, and now Thompson's been playing with Raquel and Perry. I mean, that says all you really need to know right there.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a – I think the depth on Anaheim is just better all around. And I know that the RNH, I know Eberle, and I know Lucic had a great series against San Jose. I don't expect two Zach Cassian game-winning goals this series. I'm just really kind of – I think Anaheim's going to win it. I don't know if it's going to be close. I expect McDavid to just steal a game.
I have a tough time with the series for sure. I mean, obviously the Ducks' goal is going to be get the Kessler line out there against McDavid, come as close to breaking even as you can – and then hope the Getzlaf line and then Perry or Cal can just crush the rest of the Oilers. I would have a much easier time being able to believe it if I knew Fowler and Vatanen were going to be okay. Because then Lindholm and Manson, I assume, would be paired together and play those two along with that Kessler line against McDavid almost exclusively. And I would really like the Ducks' chances. As it is right now, they've been playing Manson on the third pair, basically trying to let him carry that pairing and playing Montour with Lindholm. And while Montour is a solid player, they're not as good defensively with him with Lindholm as opposed to Manson. If I would feel fairly good about Anaheim if I knew Fowler and Vonnegut were going to be back, I mean, they also have the decision, do they just put Manson with Lindholm and roll basically a top four with, you know, Montour and Holzer not playing that much? I'm not exactly sure what Carlisle's going to do. That is a kind of tough decision. I picked the Ducks in the bracket challenge. I'm going to say Ducks in seven. Again, I don't feel great about it unless those defensemen came back. I kind of wish their series was a Thursday start and they would just have more time to get healthy. I do expect them to dominate when that line's on the ice, but McDavid is so good. And at some point, you know, it is hockey, but it's not to like basketball's level, but you know, a lot of time the team of the best player just wins, and McDavid's clearly the best player here. Man, it's still enough that I think, you know, like you said, the Ducks top to bottom are great. If the defensive core is still good enough, and if they do get healthy, it's outstanding. You know, this series is probably actually they're all really close, but I think this one might actually be the closest to me because we don't really know what Carlisle is going to do. Like when they played in the regular season, they didn't match up any of the pairs specifically. Basically, they didn't care who was out there on defense as long as the Kessel and I was out there against McDavid. Do they still want to play that way? Do they want to get Lindholm out there all the time against them, which is probably what I would do because Lindholm's outstanding. There's just so many little intricacies in the series. Like when Edmonton is at home, do they care about who McDavid's against? Do they try to get him away from Kessler? This series is probably the most interesting to me, which sounds kind of crazy when you consider Washington and Pittsburgh. But to an extent, we kind of know how that series is going to go. This is a first-time thing, and I guess the one good thing is it's the only game or only series that involves teams in the Pacific, so there isn't going to be any competition. They're going to be the only games on. I'm really excited for all these games, bottom line.
Yeah, this is a great second round. I will say
the betting line is
nope.
It's the same as the Nashville series. It's Ducks -125, Oilers +105. I mean, I think that's actually spot on. I wouldn't touch that, to be honest. I mean, yeah, I think it is semi close to a coin flip. That's basically what it is. I mean, you're not getting much extra on the Oilers side of things. Laying 5-4 basically on the Ducks, I'm not that intrigued by taking that side either. I mean, that means, you know, they have to be about 56% to break even. I mean, that's about how even I think the series really is. Again, all these series are fairly close. Yeah. Ranking them in order, I don't know. I know we disagree on the Rangers-Senators series, but I mean, I think that and the Predators are the two I feel better or more confident in. That isn't saying much. I'm talking like 60%, maybe slightly higher for Nashville, where the Oilers and Ducks and Pens Caps, I think, are almost a dead coin flip in my mind.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see the argument, but I guess in my mind, that's where I have the logic going. I like Anaheim a lot. I just think they're a really good team. Okay, but before we get to the Eastern, we could have just broken down Western and Eastern.
Yeah, it worked out that way.
Yeah, it works out nicely, too. If you want to go to any of these games, though, where are you going to find some tickets, bud?
Got to go to SeatGeek.
Fuck yeah, you're going to SeatGeek. SeatGeek's the smartest, easiest way for you to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season or postseason. There's nothing like being ringside, courtside, diamond side, or football field side. for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere with just a few taps. I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. Best of all, you guys get $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate, you can download the SeatGeek app. You go to the settings tab and click add promo code. You enter the promo code RAZZNHL, RAZZNHL, all caps, no spaces. And SeatGeek will send you $20 in cold hard cash after you made your first ticket purchase. It's not cold hard cash. It's electronically, but you get the point. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code RAZNHL today.
So this is random. My cousin just told me to type Sabres general manager in Google, and it comes up Jack Eichel.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. So what are we going to now?
All right.
Senators, Rangers?
Yep, we're going to the Ottawa Rangers series. Okay. So, I'm just going to say what I think the series is going to be. I think Ottawa is going to win it in seven. So there's a couple things here. One, the Rangers did beat Montreal in six games. I think we both predicted that exact.
Yeah, we did.
That exact thing. I had heard that the Rangers blue line was not very good outside of McDonough. And I was curious to see in that Montreal series whether that was true or not. They're worse than what I thought they were. But behind McDonough,
I really like Brady Shea, and I do think Brennan Smith played very well in that series. But Stahl, Holden, Girardi are just, oh my God, they're so
and
bad.
And those are the guys that are getting a lot of minutes, which is and there's another thing. The Rangers haven't been very good at home. They won two home playoff games in the last series, but lately they haven't been very good at home. Craig Anderson, do you want to know what his record is at MSG?
Go ahead.
When he's played for Ottawa, he's 7-1-1 with three shutouts, a .957 save percentage, and a .141 goals against average.
I find it hard to give too much stock in it.
I'm just saying
it is nice to see though.
And he has like an .845 save percentage. He has a 4.42 goals against average, and he's like 0-10-4. If that it was the case, then okay, we might put a little bit of stock in that. I think for this, he has a history of playing well at the Garden. Okay. Or Madison Square Garden. Sorry, the Garden, I believe, is what they refer to Boston and TD Garden Center. But fuck that. Okay. I think the depth of the Ottawa forwards, this is really what it comes down to. Each of these teams has a ton of speed up front and depth speed on their roster, on their forward groups. They have one great defenseman and then meh. And then I think you're going to like the Rangers, and I think a lot of people are going to like the Rangers because they look at the next logical thing to do is to look at, okay, what's the goaltending matchup? You have Craig Anderson versus Henrik Lundqvist. Okay, well, everyone thinks Lundqvist is better, and he probably is, and they're going to pick him. And they're going to say, okay, well, then I like the Rangers. I don't know if that's how you can properly add up or that's the proper summation to get to prediction for the series. There's just a way that Ottawa's playing, and I think that it's going to be weird for the Rangers, because Montreal was not a fast team, and I feel like Montreal could have used a speedy blue, like someone with some speed on their blue line, like a PK Subban or someone in that series. And they're going to go from a slower, more methodical team like the Canadiens. And they're going to have to play against a team that just likes to push the pace with Ottawa. And I see Bobby Ryan coming up. I see Turris, Stone, Hoffman. And then we have the somewhat low-key like storyline of Zibanejad and Brassard, who were traded for each other in the offseason, all of a sudden playing each other in the conference semifinals. It's actually pretty weird.
Yeah,
that happened, but I don't know. I'm not very confident in this, and then the Washington Pittsburgh series. I have very little confidence. It's like 50-50. I think both series are going to be close to 50-50. Mm-hmm. I have Ottawa in seven. There's just something about Ottawa. I don't know if it's all the storylines. I think Clark MacArthur looks really good out there. And I think that it's going to be the depth of Ottawa's forwards that are really going to give the Girardi, your Holdens, their stalls. I think they're going to give them a lot of problems. And then I think FNUF and CeCe can stay somewhat not horrible enough.
Yeah, see that. See, this series is in a different way, but I look at this series very similar to Edmonton and Anaheim. Can Carlson be so good that that outweighs him being off the ice? Basically, now it is somewhat easier for that to happen because he's playing more minutes than McDavid because he's a defenseman. But in that regard, I think it is really similar because I do expect them to have the better of it when he's on the ice, and I expect them to have the worst of it when he's on the or off the ice. And the Rangers are a kind of team that are Jekyll and Hyde. Again, we talked about it on the last podcast. You don't know what team's going to show up. They can just fall completely flat on their face and just give a game away, or they can just look like world beaters and crush it. And, you know, Bobby Ryan really did impress me. A lot of those guys did for Ottawa, actually. I was extremely impressed for Rick Nash. You know, the third line for the Rangers really didn't get going. Gradner's been in a rough stretch. Granted, he did have two goals, but one was an empty netter. I think they can play better. I mean, the step on line, I assume we'll get matched up with Turris. I think that'll be a nice matchup, low-key against each other. I mean, I do like the Rangers. I'm going to say Rangers in six, but saying that, I do think there is some value in Ottawa plus 130 to win the series because I think it is pretty close to even. I could see betting them just to win the series outright. I could also see betting them to win game one and two individually. They're going to be dogs in both. And, you know, I do think they'll probably end up winning one of them. I do think the Rangers will probably end up taking one and Ottawa then two. I don't think home ice means too much to either of these teams, honestly.
No, I think it means next to nothing in this series.
Right. So, again, I mean, I do think Lundqvist is arguably the best playoff goalie ever, which sounds crazy considering they never won a cup, but his numbers are out of this world. But Anderson has the ability to just get red hot, too. He's got the ability to get as hot as anybody. We've seen it in stretches. So, I don't think it's like a super mismatch by any stretch. It's really tough to pick this one to me, and I kind of flip-flop between six or seven games. I'm just going to stick with six because even though the Rangers have more points, they are the away team. Nice system, again, NHL. But, oh, man, again, this is more of like a 55-45, if even. I don't feel great about it, but I didn't see enough wrong from the Rangers. And I do think that Shea and Smith played pretty well together, and I hope that, you know, the minutes continue to climb for both of those guys. I mean, Smith ended up getting in the low 20s. I hope that pushes even to, like, 24 almost. Stahl and either Holden or Klein played for Holden a bunch. I mean, Holden was a disaster, which was surprising. He was all right during the season. I mean, even for fantasy, he was getting some decent point totals, but just with the eye test, I thought he looked fine, but he's just been a train wreck in the first, well, I think he played five games. He might have played four. I know he got scratched at one point. You know, do they try to put Klein back in, whatever? Do they try to put Smith with McDonough? Do they move McDonough back over and play him with Shea? I mean, they have some options. Yeah, the fourth line, I mean, you're looking at, like, Lindbergh, Faust, and the Butcher. Like, both these teams got great depth. Man, it is super tough. And Ottawa, you know, Borjecki going out, it doesn't seem like much, but Weidman and Harper just are pretty rough. I mean, they're on basically the same level as Stahl Holden to me. I assume most people are going to rank this like last in the series they want to watch. And that might even be true to me, but I feel like that's kind of a disservice looking at it that way because I'm interested to see what Ottawa can do. I mean, I know you clearly are too. I mean, you think they can win. I certainly think they could win too. I'm interested to see what the Rangers' plan is with Carlson. Do they try to get specific people out? Do they want McDonough out there against him and not care that much about what forwards are out there? Because right now, do you really care? I mean, Turris is on a line basically carrying it himself. Brassard and Ryan are together. Hoffman and Stone are together. So you can't really matchup too well. I mean, you have to have enough confidence as a Rangers fan or Vigneault, however you want to look at it, to trust all of their forwards defensively against whatever forwards Ottawa is out there. I mean, the Rangers' depth is outstanding, just like Ottawa's is. And that top nine is absurd. And I kind of like how Ottawa did it to close that last series. Put in Dzingel and Burrows with Turris instead of just loading up. I think come playoff time, when you're down in the third period, I would load up. But for the majority of the game, I think you expose yourself too much by just loading up on two lines. I don't know your thoughts on that.
I think in the when it comes to loading up on two lines, I think there's a lot to be said about the depth on these teams. We talked about Nate Thompson. We talked about how the third and fourth lines of Anaheim played really well against Calgary, and I think they're going to do really well against Edmonton. If we do a quick look back at the Washington-Toronto series, Toronto's fourth line of Kapanen and Martin and Boyle dominated the Beagle, Winnick. I don't even know who the fuck the other person was. Connolly?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm trying to bring it up now. Yeah, I'm trying to think who it was. Whoever it was, the Toronto fourth line dominated, for the most part, the Washington
fourth line. It was Wilson to start, but then once he started scoring the random goals,
Moved him up. I think we talk about Austin Matthews, we talk about Mitch Marner, we talk about JVR. I think the fourth line of Toronto really did a good job at keeping them. I mean, they won them the game, one of them, in overtime.
Right.
I think there's a lot of what goes into the depth on these teams really matters, and I don't think loading up on two lines is a good idea.
No, I think especially for Ottawa, because they have a lot of guys who could chip in when they're playing with better players. I mean, we saw with Dzingel earlier in the year. We saw with Zach Smith and stretches. I believe it in Stallberg. You know, and Burrows is the same way. But say they had Turris with Stone and Hoffman, and then Brassard, Ryan, and Smith. Now you're looking at like Pageau, MacArthur, Pyatt third line with like Stallberg, Dzingel, and Burrow. Like it just you're stretching too much then. And I think especially against the Rangers where you're looking at Miller, Hayes, Grabner as a third line. You know, Hayes had 49 points and missed some time. I mean, he easily could have cracked 50. Miller did crack 50. He had 56 points. And then Grabner was among the league leaders in goals at even strength. He's always a constant threat. He ended up finishing with 27 goals and 40 points. You know, they kind of need to do it that way. Otherwise, I think that Hayes line would have a huge edge. You know, again, Ottawa's another team. What do they want to do? Do they want to try to get Pageau out there against, I don't even know what line they want. I mean, I assume the step-on line and try to ease things up. They have the ability to really roll four lines if they want to. Granted, you know, MacArthur's played great, but I think it's more of a power play fit than anything, that he's really helped that first unit. I don't know if that fourth line you can really count on many goals, but I think they can – break even with the puck, which is all you really want with the fourth line. You don't want them to be a liability, and they're certainly not that. This is a really tough one, and again, I see value in betting Ottawa plus 130. I could see value in betting the road team every game, which seems so bizarre, but you know, taking, you know, that extra juice, seeing how things go, It's a tough one, man, but I'm going to stick with the Rangers and Sticks.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of debate in that one. And then, all right, are you ready for the final one? I guess I don't want to say save best for last, but
Stanley Cup Final, number one and number two.
Oh,
best
my
records.
Fucking God. I cannot believe these two are playing in the second round. Okay, Washington, Pittsburgh. Pretty much everyone knew that this was going to be the matchup, what, like – before the season started, and it just came down to who is going to be the one and who's going to be the two.
I mean, it got a little dicey for a while the way Columbus played, but it worked out in the end.
Okay. So this is my least confident. I have Washington in seven, which means that they have to win game seven in the playoffs against a Sidney Crosby-led team, which I feel really not confident in at all, but I have Washington beating Nashville on my Stanley Cup predictions. I had that before the season. I had that before the postseason. I'm not backing off of it now. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Like, whatever. I want to argue that the Toronto series was the nice little piece of adversity that Washington needed to wake them up, I guess, and to get them going so that they're not, like, floored by Pittsburgh. Because Pittsburgh and Toronto play a pretty similar style where it's just attack the shit out of the offensive zone and get the puck up and get speed going. There's going to be a clutchness of Justin Williams that everyone will talk about. Fine, whatever. Kuznetsov looked really good in the Toronto series. Pittsburgh looked really good in their series against Columbus, although I'm not really sure Columbus was up to the task to begin with. I'm more interested in your thoughts on this.
Oh, I mean, I ended up settling on Capitals in six because for the same thing you were talking about, I don't know if I trust them to win a game seven against Pittsburgh, even though they're at home.
I also don't trust Washington to close out a Sidney Crosby team in Pittsburgh.
I feel like they got nothing to lose if they're up 3-2, and they might, I don't know. This is so tough. Like, the Letang injury is enough for me to stick with Washington. If he was healthy, I would probably go with Pittsburgh, in all honesty. The top six for both teams look outstanding. I mean, Guentzel and Sheary looked great. Malkin and Kessel were unbelievable. You know, Kuznetsov didn't have a gaudy point total, but he looked great on the whole. Oshie was outstanding. Johansson, I mean, you can just go down the line. I don't want to hedge, but to some extent I'm going to hedge. If Alzner misses more than one or two of these games, I would think that is honestly enough to shit to Pittsburgh. I think they desperately need him, and you saw it at times in the last series. Orpik is just shot, and they put Schmidt with Carlson, which actually worked. I wonder if they stick with that.
I like the speed of Schmidt a lot.
Until Alzner gets back, you know, it is interesting.
Yeah.
I wish they had more faith in Orlov and Niskanen. Especially Orlov, man. We talked about it. He's so damn good. I wish they had the faith, you know, Trotz had the faith to use him in every situation. It seems at the end of the game, they don't use him as much as I would like them to. I just think he's good enough right now to do basically everything. I don't know. Their defense is just thin enough, Pittsburgh's, without Letang, that it just gives me enough pause. And also, you know, the question marks around Matt Murray. Will he be back? Will Fleury, you know, played fairly well to even great at times. You know, even the last game, he made almost 50 saves. The goaltending question mark in Letang being out are enough to me to, you know, lean Caps in a six or seven, and my confidence is near zero. It's basically a dead coin flip to me. So again, this is another series where I like the favorite, but Pittsburgh's plus 120 on the betting market, I kind of like it a little bit because I think it is that even. You could bet the, I guess another team you could just bet on the road to start and see how things go. They're plus 120 in game one as well. You could take that. I would have no problem with it. And you could do that and then hedge right against it and then bet, you know, the Caps to come back or something. I mean, this is just so tough. And again, it's such a damn shame that this matchup is happening already.
Yeah, I'm sort of pissed off that this isn't your Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, I mean, it's either team wins is going to be a large favorite no matter who, whether it's the Rangers or the Senators. I mean, I guess I would give the Rangers a slightly better chance against either of those teams because I think their ceiling is basically as high as those other teams. When they're on, they are outstanding, but there's also the chance the Rangers get swept against either of those teams because when they're bad, they're so bad.
I think when the, because now they did like an updated out of Vegas, like odds to win the cup. It's pretty obvious that whoever wins this Washington-Pittsburgh series, Vegas thinks is going to the cup final. Mm-hmm. I also think that.
I mean, they're still the two favorites, which is kind of crazy.
Right. I think they would be favored by quite a bit. Regardless of who they play, the winner of this Washington-Pittsburgh series, I think, wins the next series in five. I think I'm just going to call that right now.
I can't really hear you.
Yeah, we're just going to put that in the bank right now. We'll save, put that in the vault. We'll save it for later. Also, I'm just going to throw this out there. How good is USA Hockey going to be at least one day whenever they go to the Olympics? Because you still, and we talked about how Connor Sheary and Jake Guentzel are really good. Both American players, which you wouldn't really kind of expect, or it's a little bit surprising, but and then you have all those other American-born players. You got to be excited about that. I guess that's a little tangent there, but I think it's sort of cool to think about that, how there's even these players that we talk about, yeah, they're really good, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait, they're American too. Hey, how about that? Okay, back to the series. That was a little like side thing.
I guess the only other thing I want to add is it also looks that, based on the current betting lines, that no matter who wins – Ducks Oilers, they're going to be a favorite over the Predators or the Blues as well.
It won't be as
lopsided, but they are favored higher. Both of those teams are favored ahead of the other two at the moment. I need to double check whether the Oilers or Blues would have home ice, but I think that's part of it too, is the guarantee that they'll have home ice regardless, the Pacific Division team.
Yes, they would.
Okay. So I guess that probably plays a fairly big role in that.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would. I think Nashville would be my pick against either of those teams, but we're not at that. We're not there yet.
No, there's enough that can happen. That
right. We can save that. We can table that for later. Washington-Pittsburgh, though. This is going to be one hell of a series.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the guy at NBC doesn't have Mike Milbury doing the intermission reports. Odds are they will. I'm just a little bit. Again, I think everyone's really disappointed that this is even a thing. I would just love it if they went rank the. You have the top eight teams in each conference, then 1 through 16. Or you do. You know how they have that draft lottery show? Do the playoff lottery show or a playoff selection show where the top team goes in and says, we're going to face team X.
That is my dream in every sport.
That would be the greatest thing ever, because then you would see, and it could be general managers. It could be, you could even have it just be coaches.
It's such motivation for the team that gets picked by like the one seed too. They picked us. They think we're the worst team, kind of thing. They come out fired up. Like, I think it would be a big deal in basketball. I think it would be awesome for Devin in basketball.
Yeah, because
I think it's great in every sport, in all honesty. But I mean,
it would probably work best in basketball. But I think hockey would also be great, because they talk about how they want to. They like this format because it promotes divisional rivalries. You want to build a rivalry? Have Washington go out of their way to play somebody.
Honestly, they might have taken Ottawa. It wouldn't have shocked me. They could have took Toronto for sure, too. I think Pittsburgh takes one of those teams. And then Columbus probably ends up going with Boston. And that would have been a pretty good series. And Rangers-Montreal probably holds. That would be my guess. The West, I bet Chicago would have took the Blues, even though they lost to the Blues last year. Without Shattenkirk,
we can just agree, Chicago would not have taken Nashville.
No.
Last team, even it, like you're suggesting that they pick it in their own conference. I think you just go 1 through 16. You just rank the top.
I would like that even better. I don't know if that –
because you know what? I don't want to hear about, travel time and all that stuff, or – oh, well, the games aren't that close.
Happen anyway. I mean, Nashville's
going to have to play Anaheim. If it's a Nashville-Washington Cup, Nashville's Western Conference final game, would their series would be more traveling than the Stanley Cup final, and they're from different fucking conferences.
Right. I mean, if Nashville didn't blow, they're up 1-0 late against the Jets. They're up on the power play with a minute left to give up a shorty to Blake Wheeler in the last game. If they don't give up that just shorthanded goal, that game goes to overtime. They cross over, play the Ducks, and the Flames are playing the Blackhawks. Like, everything was that close to changing. That could have been a first-round series where the travel was that crazy. You know, both ways. I mean, Chicago and Calgary isn't too bad, but, you know, Nashville, you know, that's almost an Eastern time zone team. I mean, they're right on the border of it. So, I mean, it would kind of suck. You would hope the team could avoid it every round at least, but it wouldn't be enough to stop me, that's for sure. You know, I would strongly prefer 1 through 16. Even if it's 1 through 8, I mean, I would have it ranked from worst to best. The way it is now, 1 through 8 where it reseeds, and then 1 through 8 where the highest seed gets to pick who they want down the line, I think that would be great.
Yeah. Okay, so just to recap our picks for the second round, I have Nashville in 5, Anaheim in 6, and then I have Ottawa in 7 and Washington in 7. And then you have Nashville in 6, yep. Anaheim in 7,
yep.
Rangers in 6,
yep.
Washington in 6.
Right.
Okay, so we have a couple game 7s, even though there were none in the first round. I'm expecting to see at least one here in the second round.
Yeah,
I would be very hard pressed to bet against that. There's got to be at least.
I honestly think I wouldn't be surprised if all of them went there.
Could you imagine?
I mean, I don't think that happened. I mean, I could realistically see 3 though.
Yes.
I mean, I have no problem saying that.
The only one I don't see going 7 is Nashville, St. Louis. That's the only one I can't really justify going 7. The other ones, no. I could definitely see it.
Right, I mean, I could because the other teams. I don't think home ice means too much. So I could see the road team even stealing a game 7. So yeah, it's definitely not impossible. Let's look at Wednesday or the two Western games quick. 3-point challenge. I'm still the only one on the board with Pavelski. So we got the Predators Blues game and then Ducks Oilers. What are your thoughts on those two games and who do you want to take?
All right, so I like Anaheim in game 1 against Edmonton. I like the other Westerns. I like obviously I like Nashville over St. Louis. If they're going to win in 5, they're not blowing in game 1. Man. If I'm going to have to – it's hard to pick a Nashville player because Jake Allen's looks so good. But I'm going to go with Philip Forsberg in my 3-point challenge for Wednesday. I just don't really see how because Anaheim's sneaky too. You could go with like a Getzlaff or something and he could easily get it. But I'm sticking with it. Like,
okay. Yeah, I actually like – that Nashville game the first day to go under 5 goals. And I kind of like the Oilers-Ducks game to go over 5 goals. That doesn't preclude anyone from the Nashville game from, you know, being a 3-1 game and, you know, they get there. Or even, it ends up being a push of 4-1 with an empty netter, 3-2 kind of game. I'm not ruling those guys out, but I have a feeling this Ducks game is going to be pretty high scoring because I think – again, they're going to take advantage when McDavid's on the ice, and I think McDavid's just good enough to take advantage of Kessler or whoever they have out there, especially with Vatanen and Fowler looking doubtful. I'm going to take Getzlaff. I'm torn between just saying McDavid, but since the Ducks are at home, I'm more likely to lean Getzlaff away. So on draft, this is really tough because – I feel pretty good about the Ducks winning at home the first game. I kind of like Nashville to steal the one on the road. So I kind of want to take a goalie in that game, even though I think Gibson's maybe the most likely goalie to win because I think the other game's going to be lower scoring. You know, so I don't know. Rene might be my first goalie. Like, I don't know.
I think Rene's the first goalie. I think you'd just take McDavid first.
McDavid first. Yeah, because, I mean – on the blue line, it's looking kind of rough. I mean, I don't – oh, man. like Yossi, Pietrangelo even, Clefbaum.
In terms of defensemen, I think Yossi has to be your first. Does he?
Right? I mean, unless you just wanted a piece of that other game and took like Clefbaum or even like Theodore. But I mean, Yossi, you kind of have to favor that way. I mean, you still got to like Tarasenko, even though we like Nashville. I mean, he's just so damn good. Loading up on guys in Oilers Ducks, though, is not a bad strategy at all in my mind. I wouldn't be surprised if that Predators game is 2-0, 2-1. And then if that Ducks game is 4-3 or even more goals, it's really hard to say what the Ducks are going to do. I mean, Ducks can really turn that series either way. Trying to play it super tight or playing it more wide open, I think it is going to be more wide open, which, again, we talked about earlier. I'm really excited for that series. For draft, it's draft every day. Draft is a simple daily fantasy app where you can do snake drafts, just like the ones you do at the beginning of your season long league. They last for just one night and take only minutes to complete. On draft, you can play for free or better yet, play for money. Chances of winning money on draft are almost three times better than your chances of winning on other sites. So if you're playing fantasy for money, don't want to spend hours a day doing it, you should absolutely be playing on draft. Just download Draft now by searching Draft in the App Store and it'll come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code RAZNHL caps when you download and you'll get a 100% bonus up to $600 when you deposit. So again, just search Draft in the App Store. Be sure to enter the promo code RAZNHL, all caps. So we might not have our next podcast until before the conference final starts. You know, if something happens sooner that we think is, you know, definitely worth talking about, we can fire one up. You know, the draft promo code is going to be good, you know, through the rest of the NHL season, so you have time for that. SeatGeek, I believe you only have the rest of the week or the rest of the month, so if you haven't gotten it yet, now is the time to do so. You know, they'll hopefully be back come, you know, August when we get kicking into full gear again, but for now, once the hockey season's dying down, they're going to be sticking with the baseball side of things for RazBall. So use that promo code now if you can, if you haven't yet. You know, anything you want us to talk about in the comment section that we can get to, you know, next time we do a podcast, there's only going to be the two series, so it'll be much shorter.
Yeah.
You know, anything you want to, go ahead. My writing is going to dwindle off at this point, too. I'm going to write for the rest of this week. Then it'll be a here and there kind of thing, basically when I'm feeling like it. I put out my first fantasy sleeper post for 2017 yesterday, Bo Horvat. So that's on RazBall now if you want to check that out. I'm probably going to write another one tonight for tomorrow and then one for Friday too, although I'm not sure what player it's going to be yet. I got to think about it, but you check those out. I'll still be updating, you know, check in the comments if you have any questions. I'm probably just going to make a three-point challenge post for people to write in, and I honestly might just let it, you know, every day you can write in if you want kind of thing. You know, five stars, subscribe, all the good stuff. As always, you know, anything else you got to add, Reed?
No, that's – you pretty much said it all, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, if something big comes up, you know, look for us to maybe do one at the end of this week. I'm not sure. I have grand jury duty next week, so I can basically guarantee you that, assuming my number gets called early, that we will not be doing a podcast next week. But come 2 weeks, you know, the second round will probably be about done. Then you'll probably hear from us again at that point. So follow us on Twitter again, at RazBallBiz, at ReedCash17. It's included in the description of the podcast. You can, you know, we'll tweet out, or one of us will tweet out at least, you know, we're going to record a podcast tomorrow kind of thing. So, you know, it's coming. Again, thanks for listening. And, you know, we'll be back.
We'll be back sometime next week.
At some point in the future.
Yeah. All right. Take care, everyone.
Take it easy.